this morning. 1 John chapter number 3, if you would please. 1 John chapter number 3. We're going to preach the message, and we do have Valerie getting baptized this morning. We're excited about that, and she's ready to go. And so Brother Ethan will come back up at the end of the service leading a couple of songs, and we'll get ready for baptism and looking forward to seeing her follow the Lord in baptism. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. If you're there, give me a good hearty amen this morning. Good, I know you're with me. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, and that's exactly how that word's written. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. I pray that You will bless the preaching of Your Word, the baptism to come. Lord, I do pray that now as we calm our hearts, settle our minds, that we would think upon the Scripture and upon the Lord Jesus in our lives. Bless now the preaching of Your Word, we pray in His name. Amen. One of the great, great doctrinal truths of the Bible is taught here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, and that is the coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it the coming, the catching away. We've called it because of that word, the rapture, the coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John 14, 3, Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place, a literal place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, as Jesus ascended back up into heaven, the two men stood there in white apparel and said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. The Old Testament is filled with promises that Jesus Christ will come again. Jesus Himself promised that He will come again. The two men that stood by as Jesus ascended, those angels also promised that He would come back. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's safe to assume and to declare from the Bible that Jesus Christ one day is coming again, and that we can look for that. The question is, if the Bible teaches Jesus is coming back, and we believe the Bible this morning, here's the simple question, are you ready? Are you prepared for Christ to come? You say, well, I don't believe Jesus Christ is coming back. Well, you can stand in the middle of the road and say you don't believe in semi-trucks, but you will find out real quick you were wrong. And you may not believe that Jesus is coming back, but I declare to you that Jesus is Lord, and He said He is. The Bible is the Word of God. It declares that He is, and we just believe the Bible. Jesus is coming back. Notice an instance in Matthew 26 when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane right before the cross. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many could agree that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is often weak? The flesh is weak. Jesus said, watch and pray. Peter, you're asleep when you should be watching. You're asleep when you should be praying. And could it not be, if we're honest this morning, sometimes us Christians, we go to sleep spiritually when we should be watching and praying. So this morning, from 1 John chapter number 3, I want us to look at the return of Jesus and the admonition to prepare. And if you're not prepared, if you're not ready, I hope today that you will get ready. For we know not the day, we know not the hour, but we do have the promise that He is coming again. I'd like you to notice in verse 1, a secure position. Look at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. A secure position. Notice there's a position of salvation. And it starts off in verse 1 with that dynamic word, behold. That's exactly how it's written. It's not a behold. It's not just a turn around and notice. It is an exclamation point. It is a behold, look, pay attention. Several years ago when we dropped Tyler off at college and we took a family trip into the Gettysburg National Park, I couldn't wait to get there and see the battlefield and all the monuments. I had heard about it, read about it, watched YouTube videos about it. And we're coming up on Gettysburg. And as we're coming up in the town, all of a sudden these monuments to all... And I told my... There's one right there. You see that? There's one. There's Little Round Top right there. And there's Lee's headquarters right there. And there it is. There's Pickett's Church. And all the... And literally my family said, Dad, calm down. I said, I can't. We're here. We're here. We're here. I promise you, it was like kid in a candy shop. It was like Christmas morning. And that's exactly what this word means. It means behold, look, 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 behold. And what are we to behold? Look at verse 1. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth. That word means to demonstrate, to show. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I remind you this morning, the only reason you have eternal life is the love of God to send Jesus for you. Behold, what manner of love, what kind of love is this that God would send Jesus? It's a love different from the world. It's a love different than what we even experience or understand. What people call love is not what He's talking about. This is a divine love. This is an out-of-this-world love. And God extended His love to you and me. Thank God for His love. Ah, no big deal. God loved you in your sin. God loved you even though you were unlovable. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He provided salvation because of His love, but because of His love, He receives us. Look at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John 1, verse 11 and 12 tell us this. He came into His own, Jesus. He came into His own, the Jewish people, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Salvation today is not limited to one person. Salvation is available to all who will believe. We get to be sons of God. We get a new father. We get a new family. We get to be in God's family, that we should be called the sons of God. How does this happen? It happens when you and I realize that we're sinners and we cannot get to heaven on our own. Heaven is perfect. God is perfect. And oh, we realize that we deserve the justice of God because God is holy. And that place that Jesus talked about, a place of weeping, a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth, a place called hell. It's a real place. And you cannot go to heaven with sin. But oh, the love of God to send Jesus for you and for me, that we wouldn't have to go to hell, that we could miss hell and go to heaven, all because of the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, this morning, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You say, Brother Rick, I'm a good person. You're not as good as you think you are. The Bible says there's none that doeth good. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seek Him. The only reason you're saved, one word, grace on people that don't deserve it. Well, I go to church. Going to church is wonderful. I've been baptized. Wonderful. I've taken communion. Great. I do this. I do that. If your answer is anything I've done other than trust Jesus Christ, you are trusting in the wrong thing or person. Salvation is not something we achieve. Salvation is somebody we receive, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Have you experienced His love? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's a position of salvation, and it's a position of separation. For notice in verse 1, notice this, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. The world doesn't understand it. The world doesn't receive it. The world doesn't mind a little religion as long as you keep it in the church house. But ladies and gentlemen, as our VBS theme was, let the light of Christ shine. Let the world know something happened to us. Let the world know we're different. See, a lot of Christians, they want to add Jesus and just be like everybody else. God has told us to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. I'm not talking like a Pharisaical, I'm better than you. I am talking about Jesus has changed our lives, and we ought not be ashamed to let the world know it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Has Jesus made you new by way of salvation? A secure position. But I'd like you to see, secondly, a settled promise. Look at verse 2. Beloved now. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Beloved now. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have to wait one day, hopefully, to be saved. The moment you trust Christ, beloved, now are we the sons of God. This morning, I'm a son of God. Not because I've earned it, because I know Jesus Christ. Right now, beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. A settled promise. See, there's the promise of His coming. But we know that when He shall appear. Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To look, we're to be looking. The promise of His coming. You say, Brother Rick, you really believe. You really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? I'm just crazy enough to believe every word of the Bible. I believe He's coming. I believe He's coming before the tribulation period. I believe any day, any hour. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The trumpet will sound, the shout, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those alive and remain, they shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I really believe Jesus is coming again. And then I believe in that tribulation period. And then I believe Jesus Christ is coming back down to earth on that white horse. Revelation, Matthew 24, Revelation 19. He'll land on the Mount of Olives and set up His kingdom. Oh, I just believe what the Bible says. Jesus is coming again. The promise of His coming. But how about the promise of change? But you notice verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. When Jesus rose again from the dead, He had that glorified body. Remember when the disciples were meeting in that room? Jesus didn't have to knock on the door and asked permission to get in. How'd He get in? Beam me up, Scotty. He was just there. I mean, He just, boom, was there. And we're going to have a brand new... Can I ask you a question? And the older you get, the more excited you are about this. How many are looking forward to a brand new body? Somebody say amen. No more knee surgeries. No more COVID, no more flus, no more parasites from eating lettuce. Look, no offense. Thank God for our doctors and our nurses and all those in medical here in the church. But can I tell you, the whole medical thing, it'll be out of business up in heaven. No need. No more flu shot. Someone just told me they got a bunch more vaccines coming out for different things. All that, you won't need any of that. You won't need any of that. You won't need to exercise. Praise the Lord. You won't step on the scale and think, how did that happen? Was that the third donut or the fourth donut? You won't have to worry about any of that. The Bible says we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Look, young person, you may be pretty impressed right now when you look in the mirror. Let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you won't be that impressed. You won't be that impressed. Because of sin, our body decays and our body changes. And pretty soon you have pains and aches in places you didn't have aches and pains before. And the doctor bills start coming and you thought, man, I've been to the doctor more today than I have in a year and 10 years. And you, it used to be you never worried about that stuff. But as you get older, it starts coming. Why? Sin in the body. But thank God when we see Jesus, all of that will be over. See, there's the promise of change. And then how about the promise of comfort? The Bible tells us He's coming and we shall see Him and we shall be like Him. And then I remind you of that comforting verse in 1 Thessalonians 4. I already quoted the chapter. It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Tyler and I yesterday were out making visits for Vacation Bible School, following up on families and kids, and we had a great time. And we went to go visit this one family that lives right down here by the, well, no, it's the other intersection. I can't remember the street, but I do remember it's across the street from Bojangles. I do remember that. And we went to visit. They were so excited to come. It was a grandmother. Her kids were, grandkids were down from Atlanta, and they were there. They had a great time. We were talking to them, and I hope they can come back before they leave. And we were on our way out, and there was a lady sitting across the way. We went up, ma'am, we'd like to give you an invitation to church. And boy, she was waiting for us, let me tell you. And she went on and on and on about this and that, and I believe this, and I'm thinking, I have no idea what this dear lady believes, and I don't even think God has heard of some of the things she mentioned in what she believes. I mean, it just went on and on, and finally I said, ma'am, let me tell you about Jesus, and we tried to do all that, but she made one statement that caught my attention through the whole 20-minute conversation. One thing, she said, I'm looking for my peace. I said, man, you can have peace right now. And then she told us all about her troubles and her family, and she started to cry, and we had prayer with her and all this and that. And I wanted her to know. I couldn't get a lot in, but I wanted her to know that you can have peace right now. It's not found. It's not found in everything the world wants us to do. You can have peace right now in Jesus Christ. You can have peace in the fire. You can have peace in the flood. You can have peace when the whole world falls apart. But you can have peace. And wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What's the comfort? One day, we'll see Jesus face to face. One day, we'll be with Him. One day, those that have gone on, since I've been here almost 2 years, those that have gone on, that knew Christ as Savior, hey, we're going to see them again in that great resurrection morning. And we're going to be made brand new. I'll tell you what, we live in the world that we live in, and all the mess and all the things going on. I'm going to tell you something. The promise of Jesus brings me comfort and peace. See, there's a settled promise. But then I'd like you to see number three, a serious pursuit. What do we do with this? Okay, Jesus is coming, and that's wonderful. We shout amen, hallelujah, get a new body. But what do we do? Look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, Jesus coming, we shall be changed, we shall see Him, And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. God wants us to respond to the truth of His coming. See, it's a present pursuit. Every man that hath this hope that Jesus is coming, that we shall be changed, that one day we'll be made brand new, no more sickness, no more cancer, no, none of that. Look. One day, when my mom, when her body is raised from the dead. By the way, I hope my mom doesn't have to see that. I hope God heals her. And wouldn't it be great if the rapture happened before any of that? And just go up, don't even worry. But one day, she'll have a brand new body. And guess what? They won't be able to find pancreatic cancer. Because she'll be like Jesus. And whoever has this hope, it's a present pursuit. This hope, now, today. This is not verse 3. Down the road, this is today. What are we to do with the coming? A present pursuit, and it's a present purifying. We are to purify ourselves. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that we get saved ourselves, like you have to work something up, like you're in charge of your salvation, like you've got to die on the cross, you've got to do work. No, we know that we trust Christ who did all the work for us. But it says, in every man, he's talking to believers, that hath this hope in him, that's believers, purifieth himself even as he is pure. That means that you and I, listen, you and I need to get back to living like Jesus Christ wants us to live. Now today we hear a lot about the gospel. We hear a lot about love. We hear a lot about grace. And we all want that. We're excited about that. But Brother Rick, don't give me any of that. You ought to live this way. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do. I'll talk the way I want to talk. I'll dress the way I want to dress. I'll go where I want to go. I'll spend my money the way I want to spend it. I'll listen to what I want to listen to. I love the grace and I love the mercy and I want all that, but you just leave me alone and quit your legalistic leanings on us living right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not legalistic to live like Jesus. It is Bible to live like Jesus. And the Bible says that if you believe that Jesus is coming, you need to purify himself. You need to prepare yourself. You need to make sure you are clean. Make sure you are ready. Make sure that you are living in a way that represents Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:14 that thou keep this commandment, New Testament, without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now listen, folks, God wants to give us grace. God wants to shine His love on us. God wants us to know mercy, and He saves us. And then He says, now grow and be like me. And the Bible tells us in the book of Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. See, our inside needs to be pure. Our hearts need to be pure. But let me remind you, so do our hands need to be pure. Can I encourage us on this Sunday morning? It does matter how we live our lives. It does matter the things that we do, the places we go, the movies we watch, the music, the way we dress, the way we conduct, all that does matter, because all of that will point people to or away from the gospel you and I say we believe. I had a man one time, and I even shudder to give this, but I'll give it by way of illustration. He said, Brother Rick, let's have a Bible study. And I said, okay, love to. He said, let's go grab lunch and have it. I said, I'd love to. He said, where do you want to go? He said, let's go to, and I'm not going to say the name of it, but the name of the restaurant has to do with, let's say, owls and ladies' bodies. Fair enough? I said, I'm not going there. He said, why? First of all, my wife will kill me. He said, come on, we're just having Bible study. I said, let me tell you right now. If you go there, you ain't just having Bible study. Don't lie to yourself, man. You think you're going to sit there and focus on God's Word and all that, ladies walking around in inappropriate clothing? You think Christ is honored by that? But here's what the world says today. Lighten up, Brother Rick. That's legalism. No, sir. That is honoring Jesus Christ. Purify your heart. Purify your hands. We've gotten away from separation. We've gotten away from godliness. We've gotten away from holiness. Now we just kind of want whatever goes. And if anybody says anything, they're just mean. Well, Peter did say, be holy, for I am holy. It's not a game. It's not a checklist like you've got to these things. But ladies and gentlemen, when we go to the Bible, we find out this, that Jesus wants us to live like Him. If He's in you, then He will lead you and guide you to live in holiness. You know, there's a lot of things today that people want to do and put pressure on other Christians to do it with them that years ago people would have never heard of. For instance, since you asked. You know, today there's a whole movement of pastors and churches, and I use that loosely and lightly, who encourage their members of the church to go out and drink beers to get people to come over, sit down and have a little Bible study while knocking off a couple of rounds. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever happened to preaching against the devil's liquor? Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, Brother Rick, I want Jesus, but what's wrong with my beers on the weekend? What's wrong with a little getting wasted every now and then? What's wrong with that? Multiple verses in the Bible, but the Bible says if you are deceived by that, you are not wise. Purify yourselves. What's on your TV? What's on your phone? What are we allowing into our hearts and into our minds? And by the way, our lack of care is affecting our young people. I heard a preacher say one time, what we as parents allow in moderation, our kids will do it in excess. A little bit won't hurt. A little bit's not going to make a difference. A little bit's okay. And then 10, 15, 20 years from now, your kids are doing the same thing, only they've blown it up big time because they learned from me, they learned from you, that a little bit's okay. Can I remind you? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Jesus is coming. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about pride. And it says, humble yourselves. How many are glad this morning God gives us opportunity to get things straightened out? You say, no, I want God to humble me. Think before you ask that. But our gracious God in heaven says, look, I want you to be clean. I want you to be pure. I don't want you to get trapped up with sin and worldliness. That's going to hurt you. That's going to affect you. That's going to affect your family. That's going to affect your kids. And come on, Rick, don't be a knucklehead. Think about these things. Lord, I'm sorry. Humble yourselves. Lord, thanks for being patient with me. Thanks for having mercy, having grace. It does matter. The lie of the devil is that it doesn't matter. Bible says, even as he is pure. By the way, can I remind us this morning, what's our standard for living? Our standard for living is not me. Our standard for living is not someone else. You know who the standard of living is? It's Jesus Christ. And just as he has made us pure on the inside, now we purify ourselves on the outside, and everything about me, God wants to get glory. Every post on social media, everything I do, everything I drink. Now, I know people say, well, I don't like that because it's just a list of rules of do's and don'ts. I've mentioned like two or three things. But there's a whole lot of things in your life, everything God does care about. We can't just let it go to the side. We have to get back to the place of saying, God, does this honor you? Does this not honor you? What does your word say? If you have this hope, You need to purify yourself. Are you prepared for Christ's coming by knowing Him as Savior? Are you prepared looking for His coming? Are you prepared by pursuing purity in your life? I go back to the illustration of the disciples in the garden. And there, Jesus is praying. And several times He approaches them and says, "Why are you sleeping?" And God spoke to my heart this week that there might be some things in my life. There might be some things in your life that we've kind of closed the eye to. We've fallen asleep. And anybody that drives knows this: the quickest way to end your life is to fall asleep at the wheel. You just fall asleep and find out what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not time for moms and dads to fall asleep. It's not time for church members to fall asleep. It's not time for preachers to fall asleep. We have to be vigilant. We have to watch and pray. Watch, pray, so God gives you a soft heart, but you know the dangers. Don't fall asleep. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians 5:14, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest," Christians, the church, "and arise from the dead." Romans 13:11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." Sleepy Christians. Sleepy churches. Well, it doesn't matter anymore. None of this matters. And Jesus says, "Ho, wait, I'm Lord. I'm Lord and I'm coming. Prepare. Get ready." And if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, forget all the list of standards. What you need this morning is you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You don't want to be left behind when He comes. You don't want to. You mean like the movies? Well, forget the movies. Go read the Bible. He is coming. Christian, it does matter how you live. It does matter how we act. Me too. It matters. It does matter. Pursue holiness. Pursue purity in our lives. Because if we don't, it'll hinder our focus on Christ. It'll hinder our service. And it will hinder our standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Aren't you glad that once you get saved, you can never be unsaved? But it doesn't mean we always do right and we might lose reward. Oh, friend, let me encourage us this morning. Look for His coming. Oh, what a gracious, comforting truth that Jesus is coming again. Pursue Christ. When you pursue Christ, you pursue holiness. You love Him. Let Him lead your life. Let Him be Lord of every area of your life. And live for Him. Awake. Wake up. Wake up, sleepy Christian. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Father, help us this morning. Lord, thank You for the graciousness of these folks to listen. And Lord, I appreciate this text. I used it in my life this week. I thank You so much for Your coming. I thank You so much for that promise. I thank You so much for the challenge that You gave me to purify myself, to think about how I live, to think about these areas. We live in a world, Lord, where so many voices are trying to get us to say it doesn't matter. And God, Your Word says it does matter. And I pray You'd help us this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I wonder if there might be somebody here that doesn't know Jesus.